Everyone, and welcome to another and the final edition of the Looking Up Show for 2024, which has just whizzed by with a bang. And you are here today with your host, Danny, and I have my good mate, Matthew Smith, as my co-host today. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Pastor Danny. It's unusual for me to be on this segment. I'm usually on in the morning.
You certainly are. So our listeners will be like, oh, that's a familiar voice. So that's Matthew Smith. I refer to him as Smithy. So that's his nickname. Do other people call you Smithy?
Smithy, Matty, Matto, Matt. Wow. Even I get an odd Michael.
There you go, folk. And today, folk, you're going to have to really keep in your thoughts, and in your prayers even, our producer, Rochelle, the one and wonderful. Welcome.
Hey, Rochelle.
Hi, everyone.
Good to have you on board, Rochelle. Now, why do people especially be thinking of you today? Because you have got two guys here that you're going to have to deal with for the next 2 hours that are both from Footscray in the western suburbs of Melbourne, born in the same hospital. Can you believe it?
In the same hospital?
In the very same hospital.
Wow.
Not at the same time. Like, Matthew was born like 15 years before me, so he's 15 years older. He doesn't look a day over 75.
That's because, like, Jacob, I held onto his heel, you know, he saw his heel. I got the birthright.
My mate Smithy, he's a few years younger than me. So, anyway, we're born both in the same hospital, you know, western suburbs. Yeah. You know what they say about the western suburbs? You got to look out for the western suburbs.
They know how to talk the town down, yeah?
They do. And they know how to create a lot of other issues as well. So anyway, we're going to have a great time today with Matthew, and we're going to be continuing and finishing off our study that we've been looking at the United States in Bible prophecy. There's a lot going on in that space, so we're going to be finishing that off today. And then we're going to be in recess for a few weeks, but the Looking Up Show will still be on. There'll be repeats, so I'm not sure what those repeats will entail, but you'll have something to listen to. You can just go online or just download the app, and you'll have an opportunity to listen to your heart's content over the holiday period.
Amen.
Can you think of anything better than that, Smithy, than listening to, like, the Looking Up Show, like, just over and over again, like binging on the Looking Up Show? Can you imagine anything better to do on the holidays?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor. The Bible worker principle is, if you read something in the Bible that's repeated, it's very important.
There you go.
So if you're hearing it twice, wow, you're getting important information.
There you go. There you go. So you can start off in 2020 when we first started the show in about May, and you can go all the way through to today. That'll keep you busy on the holidays, and that'll give you other problems as well. But hey, today, Smithy, guess what? I was visiting before I came here. I was visiting the Butcher family.
Oh,
our friend Karen and Graham,
James,
Rachel, and Jess was there, and Benaiah. Let's not forget about Benaiah. And today it's Graham's birthday.
Hey, big happy birthday to Graham!
Big happy birthday, Graham! Very, very happy for you. I told him I was going to give him a big shout out. Big happy birthday today! In fact, we had our church lunch. Mm-hmm. We missed you at Boolaroo. We missed you on Saturday. I don't know where were you.
I went to Hillview.
You went to Hillview.
And then we had lunch at home.
You had lunch at home. Oh, we had an incredible lunch. And you know what I discovered? A whole bunch of people are born in December at Boolaroo Church. Yeah, absolutely. Like, we had like at least 10 people that – and we have a church of like 12 people at Boolaroo. No, not quite. Not quite. We've got about 30 or so that come regularly, 30, 35, somewhere there. Anyway, about 10 of them – we're born in December. You know how we have the birthday cake each month as we, you know, acknowledge all those that have had a birthday that particular month?
A special song.
A special song, yeah.
That's 30% of the church.
That's incredible. Yeah,
10,
absolutely.
10 members.
So Ruth Ann's one of those. She had a birthday, and there's another. Rob, our mate Rob.
Rob Walker.
Yep, good old Rob. Yeah, he's got a birthday and a whole bunch of others. My wife, it's her birthday in December.
You'd be very poor.
Have mercy if I would have missed out on Jasna. Could you imagine that, Rochelle? Forget about going on holidays with her over Christmas. I would be staying home, mowing the lawn and gardening and pulling out weeds while she's out there up on the Sunshine Coast and Gold Coast and wherever else we're going, hanging out with family and friends. So I wouldn't have been going anywhere. So it's her birthday on the 23rd.
What is a precious gift that you...
I forgot her birthday once.
Oh, no. That's,
you know what? Yep. I learnt a valuable lesson, Rochelle. You will never, ever forget your wife's birthday if you forget it once.
Because you get traumatised.
It did not end well. I think I've shared that story on the radio a few times. So I won't go at it again. But it didn't go well. That's why I got married on January 1, Smithy.
1st of January.
1st of January. Talk about a New Year's resolution. I got married on January 1 because I'm bad with dates. I forget.
He still forgot.
The 23rd of December. Look, it wasn't entirely my fault. I mean, she's born 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
Seriously, what was she thinking?
It could have been of you. To be thinking of you, the ideal husband.
She wasn't thinking of Danny, who would be coming down the track 20-odd years later. Anyway, we're about to celebrate 30 years on January 1. I'm not sure if my contract will be renewed, but I'm hoping and praying it'll be renewed on January 1.
Good innings, Pastor Day. Good innings.
In the meantime, folk, we're going to listen to a beautiful song from Michelle McClagger. I'm not sure if I pronounced that right. Right, Joy Comes in the Morning. I've got that part right. I got the title right. Michelle, my apologies if I've just messed up your surname. Listen in and we'll be continuing our journey after that.
Times I lay weeping, nights without sleeping, longing for morning to come. When my world crashes in sackcloth and ashes, I wait at the foot of the cross. Have mercy on this dust. In you I put my trust. For I know your joy will come in the morning, and with gladness I'll praise your name. And my morning will turn. Never forsaken you, oh no. forsaken you. For I know your joy will come in the morning, and with gladness I'll praise your name, and my morning will turn to dancing. For I know there will come a day when I see
What a beautiful voice. That was Michelle McClagger, Joy Comes in the Morning. I think I got the surname a little more so correct that time. So I want to welcome all our Looking Up listeners who might have just joined us. We have kicked off, and just to repeat, if you missed it, I have my co-host today joining me, Smithy.
Yeah.
And he's from the same part of the world where I came from, the western suburbs of Melbourne, there in Footscray, born in the same hospital. You can't make this stuff up, Smithy. Born in the exact same hospital. Not at the same time. I was born a few years earlier. Prepared the way for him.
I think there must be about 6 years between us or something
like that. Yeah, something.
I'm 48.
Like 48. Yeah, well, I'm 53, so that's 5 years. Let's not over exaggerate. Let's not over exaggerate. So anyway, so I've got him joining us because our mate Sharissa is away.
Yes,
she has gone to the land of Donald Trump, and I told her to say a big hi to Donald from me and tell him that we feature him pretty much every week on our radio show. Because he's at the very epicenter of end time Bible prophecy.
He had Dr. Ben Carson as a part of his cabinet ministry.
He did, and he's invited, from what I understand, he's invited Dr. Ben Carson to be his office or the faith office leader. That Donald Trump will be establishing a faith office that will directly relate to him when it comes to matters of faith, and so Dr. Ben Carson has been tasked with heading that up, that faith office. So this is going to be interesting. So anyway, what I shared, Justin shared with me something in a tweet, and I said to him, you know what I would love, seriously, Smithy, on a serious note, what I would love is if I was Dr. Ben Carson, this is what I would do, because we know where this train is heading.
Absolutely.
Okay? Right. We know where the United States train is heading according to Bible prophecy, and we're going to be looking at that a little more so today as we wind things up. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, this is our last live Looking Up show today. It's December 18, and we'll be kicking off at the beginning of January on the 22nd.
So temporary hiatus.
Yeah, we are. We're just having everyone needs a little break. Everyone needs a little break. So January 22 is when we kick off with the live show once again. Sharissa will be here and I'll be here, God willing, and we will get cracking into 2025. And that'll be 2 days after the inauguration of Donald Trump.
Wow.
There's going to be a lot happening next year. So folk, you'll need to fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be epic because there's so much going on already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he hasn't even been inaugurated as the president and there's so much going on already. This is usually a quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this transitional period between one president and the next, yes. You know, between the election and the inauguration is usually a quiet time. Not much happens. But there's been so much going on that tells us that, yeah, it's going to be hectic.
There's a lot of commotion on the ocean of politics.
Well, I'm telling you, that's why we only get the best. We only get the best here as co-host. And so I also do need to let you know about our book, our giveaway book. I'm not sure, Rochelle, how many copies we've got of this book. Do you know?
I think it was about 4 or 5 copies.
Okay, 4 or 5 copies. This is a book you want to get your hands on. I'm not sure if it'll get to you before Christmas. It probably won't get to you before Christmas. But it's a really good book that will get to you as soon as we can get it to you. It's entitled Stories of Faith. And it's 55 stories on how God is changing lives, hearts, and minds across the South Pacific, across our part of the world. And so it's a book that is a compilation of 55 amazing and uplifting stories from literature evangelists. That is those men and women, and Rochelle is a literature evangelist herself.
Amen.
Men and women, have you ever been a literature evangelist, Matthew?
I've helped go with the folk doing the Jumpstart program.
Okay, so you've done a little bit out there on the doors, yes, selling or giving away books.
That's when Jared.
Meeting people.
Jared French was in charge before our own Brenton Lowe's taken over.
Fantastic. So anyway, 55 amazing testimonies that these literature evangelists, these individuals that go door to door sharing the good news of Christ through selling books and often giving away literature. And so I'm sure Rochelle would have amazing stories to share with us. I'm not sure if Rochelle features in this book. She's not one of the 55.
No, I'm not. But I've read the book. I've got it.
And you've got it?
It's a good book. There's some really amazing stories. And that we've got 7 copies.
We've got 7 copies. There you go. That's the perfect number.
Perfect number. It's well, complete.
The complete perfect number on our final show. So we're going to be giving this book away to 7 listeners. You want to get your hands on this for yourself or for someone else. Like I said, 55 powerful testimonies in this book, Stories of Faith. You will really enjoy it. So our number, jot this number down, put it in your phone. This is our looking up number. It's 04-888-17624. That's 04-888-17624. And in a little bit, probably in our next, I think we're going to go our next section after our song and in our next bracket, we'll give away the code word. So we've got a code word and we're going to give that to you, and you'll need to text the code word to the number 04-888-17624. And if you're one of the first 7 to do so at that time, you will have this book coming your way. It's a powerful book. In fact, I think I might have this in my library as well, Rochelle. I think I'm going to need to take it with me. On Friday, we leave to head up the coast to, you know, visit family and friends. I think I'm going to take this book and I'm going to read it during the holiday period.
It is actually the type of book you can reread. Like, I need to do a reread of it too. Like, they're just short stories. They're not real long, but they're really inspiring.
Mm, wow.
The lady that wrote the book, Vania Chu, I know her very well.
The one that compiled it. Yeah, compiled all these stories.
A great author, a great friend. She works with the Greater Sydney Conference. She is awesome because we'd go to AYC, the Youth Conference, and that's where I met Vania. And she's just a bubbly, loves God, loves sharing about people's testimonies. In fact, like what you're saying about the book, Pastor, there's many stories. One of them would be around the areas of people looking for hope, and then literature readers come along giving the answers to what they're looking for.
Absolutely. And just to whet your appetite, I'll just share with you, in this book, you'll discover the truth about a man who had killed 26 people, but God found a way to save him.
Wow.
Isn't that powerful?
It is. Just when I see the word God forgave him.
Yeah. Could God forgive a man who had killed 26 people? Mm-hmm. The story is in this book. So, man alive, that's one story in and of itself that you want to get hold of this book and find out the rest of those details. So I'm looking forward to finding out that story myself. All right. Yep. So, Smithy, without any further ado, let's take a look at what's been making headlines from a prophetic point of view. All right, we've got our Bibles.
We do.
We have our Bibles, and I'm going to invite you to pray because we're going to be dealing with Scripture. We're going to be dealing with headlines, and I'm going to invite you to pray, my friend, and away you go.
Okay, just give me a second. I'm ready.
Off you go.
Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you because we know that through you we have life and through you we have wisdom and understanding. We ask for your Holy Spirit to bless us with such that we may receive your word of truth. Lead Danny and myself today to be your humble servants, to impart your word of life, to give hope and encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So in our part of the world, just happened yesterday a terrible earthquake. Did you hear about that, Smithy?
Vanuatu, I believe, is it?
Yeah, correct? In Vanuatu, 7.3 on the Richter scale, and a number of people have sadly perished already. So a lot of damage, and I'm sure those numbers will increase, which is very, very sad. So that happened just after midday yesterday, not far from the capital there in Vanuatu, Port Vila. About 31 kilometers was the epicenter, and very, very sad. So if we've got any listeners that have friends, family in Vanuatu, our thoughts and our prayers are with you.
Absolutely. I mean, they could also text in for us to pray for
Absolutely,
anyone.
Absolutely, yeah. So text in and Rochelle will read out those prayer requests or any comments. By the way, yeah, if you've got any comments, any thoughts, yeah, just text them through and Rochelle will be onto that and, yeah, we'll read them. We'll read them on air. So yeah, let's pray for them. But yeah, like we said earlier, there's a lot of turmoil going on. And the Bible actually says, let's go to the scripture before we go to the headlines. Matthew 24. So there you go. We go into the book that has your name all over it. Matthew 24.
Not worthy.
That's the chapter. Yeah, no, it wasn't you that wrote this book. Oh. Written by Matthew, the disciple of Christ, and Jesus here talks about signs of the times. And notice what he says. If you want to read for us verse 6 and 7, Matthew 24, 6 and 7.
Gladly, it says, "And you'll hear of wars," sorry, "and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places."
And then you're going to read just verse 8?
"And all these are the beginning of sorrows."
Okay, now remind our listeners, what does that word sorrows mean in verse 8?
All these beginning of sorrows.
It means birth pains.
Yes, the one that a lady goes through prior to conception.
Labor pains, birth pains. Yes, indeed. So that's what that word means, sorrows. So Jesus says that wars and rumors of wars, so political turmoil as well as disasters such as famines, pestilences or diseases, earthquakes, will be prevalent and more so as we near the coming of Jesus.
So what you're saying, Pastor Danny, there should be a frequency and an intensity.
Exactly. There will be a greater frequency and a greater intensity. Spot on. That's exactly what Jesus shared. So let's take a look at what's happening on the political landscape.
Yes, please. Sounds juicy.
So there's been so much going on in the Middle East. The Middle East, there was already a lot going on before the last few weeks. And then all of a sudden, Syria came onto the scene. And after 13 years of a civil war where, you know, over 500,000 people died in the country of about 23 million people. So that's less than Australia's population. Yes. Imagine 500,000 to 600,000 people dying in Australia over a 13-year period.
Shock impact.
That's enormous. If you think about it, that's like almost 50,000 a year. Break it down, that's 1,000 a week.
Whoa.
1,000 a week dying in this civil war. And sadly, of those 23-odd million, about 12 million people have been displaced. They've had to leave their homes because of the war and the conflict.
Now, one of there's this big encouragement for other countries to take refugees.
Absolutely. 6 million of them have had to leave Syria and 6 million have been displaced internally.
No peace in the Middle East still.
Sorry?
It sounds like there's no peace in the Middle East.
And so now this, now we've got a new shift that has taken place there. We've got these, you know, rebels that have been fighting with the government forces, and there's many others that are doing battle there in Syria. Now they've taken over, and now people are wondering, you know, what's going to take place next. So there's just so much turmoil. So that's in the Middle East. Then let's go to Europe. Okay, what did Jesus say? Those labor pains would be intensifying, isn't that right?
Yes, getting worse.
So we go to Europe and we find out what's taking place over there in France and Germany, which I discovered. France and Germany, those two countries make up 40% of the GDP or the gross domestic product for the European Union. Did you know that?
Not till you said it, Pastor.
Those two countries alone. And those two countries are on their backs. Things are not going well there politically. I mean, the French Prime Minister, you know, he had a vote of no confidence. So the president needs to find a new Prime Minister. I think he has elected a new Prime Minister.
Whoa.
In Germany, the government folded. So they're looking at re-elections. These are the two big nations that the European Union relies on to be solid, strong, steady.
Financially.
Absolutely. They're 40% of the economy of Europe. They're kind of like the mainstays. They are like the two pillars in the European Union. So they're on shaky territory.
So I've got a question, Daddy. Was it just like so many years ago that there was Brexit that took place as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Brexit, where the UK pulled out.
And that's still not repaired, is it? They're still on that front where they've backed away from.
Yeah, they've backed away. So
it's getting worse for them.
Absolutely. So there's a lot of tension. Add to that, let's go to the other side of the Atlantic. There in North America, we've got in Canada turmoil now. We've got the deputy prime minister, a lady, I can't remember what her name is. No, she hasn't been sacked. Huh? She resigned.
Oh, resigned.
She's also the finance minister, I believe, or in charge of the purse strings of Canada. Had a disagreement with the prime minister, Justin Trudeau. She's resigned. So all these things are happening all at the same time. I don't remember this taking place. And there's so much more to share. And we're going to share that after this song by Keith and Kristen Getty, Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. So, you're going to enjoy this song, and then we're going to talk a little more of how this is all lining up with what the Bible has to say in connection with the soon return of Jesus. But enjoy this song in the meantime.
He's risen indeed. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed.
That was Christ is Risen. He is risen indeed. Keith and Kristen Getty. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. Hey, everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
You're listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have Bible questions? Join me, Lyle, at 5 o'clock every Thursday during Afternoons with Sil. We give Bible answers for all your difficult questions. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to The Shell Show on 0488 880856.
Look up.
Look up. You're listening to The Looking Up Show with my co-host Smithy. And myself, Danny, and we've got Rochelle in the driver's seat making sure everything happens as it ought to. And we're very thankful for Rochelle, aren't we,
Smithy? I did really good then, didn't I?
You did fantastic. Never done any better than that. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, folk, we are looking at what's taking place in the world, and there is so much taking place. The Bible tells us what to expect, and we are seeing all that happening. We're seeing this convergence, Smithy.
Yeah, if the Bible says it, we ought to believe it.
Absolutely. So we're seeing this convergence of all these signs happening all at the same time. Yes. I think earlier on I failed to share what I was asking my friend. Well, not my friend. I have met Dr. Ben Carson, but he's not a friend of mine. I've met him, taken a photo with him and his wife when he was here in Australia. When he was here at the Avondale Memorial Church, he shared a message there. It was a packed church, as you can imagine.
Absolutely.
Every man and his dog was literally there to see Dr. Ben Carson. This was many years ago. This is before he was part of the cabinet of Donald Trump. So while he was thinking about going for the presidency, you remember?
Yes, I do. I was here.
Yeah, he was thinking about it, and then he actually signed up. And he was doing pretty well at the beginning. Absolutely. And and then he threw his support behind Donald Trump, and he was invited by Trump, of course, to be on his cabinet. But what I would be asking Dr. Ben Carson to do, I would be asking him to give a great controversy book to Donald Trump first and foremost, and to every single one of his cabinet picks, every single one of his staff. In fact, I would be happy to sponsor a great controversy book to all the who's who in the Donald Trump zoo.
Oh,
absolutely.
Wouldn't that be something?
Absolutely. So Dr. Ben Carson, he knows where this train is heading.
Yes.
He's read the book, I'm sure. He knows Bible prophecy. He's got an inside track. And so it would be wonderful if he was able to share and just encourage, you know, the Trump administration to be faithful to God, to fulfill their objectives that they have been asked by the people to fulfill, and to do that which God has called them to do, and to be faithful to the Constitution, and not to go to a place where they will be fulfilling Revelation 13 in how they go about their task of running the country.
I feel your sentiment, Pastor, especially towards men that are freedom fighters, for instance, Elon Musk.
Mm.
He's one that's very vocal about having the right to speak, and that's why he took over Twitter, apparently.
Mm.
And he's very anti-leftist sentiment. So to see the great controversy in his hands, what kind of impact that would have?
Oh, it'd be huge.
It would.
Him and Vivek.
Oh.
You know, they're working in tandem, Elon and Vivek. And by the way, Elon, the news came out the other day, he's now the first individual to break through the $400 billion barrier of personal wealth, over $400 billion. And to put that in perspective, Smithy,
yes,
he has as much personal wealth as
150 countries produce in a year in their GDP.
Stupendous.
That's just off the scale. 150 countries, okay, they're obviously, you know, from the bottom up.
Yeah.
They produce as much goods and services in 1 year as the total wealth of Elon Musk. And so this gap, or I should call it a gulf, this gulf between the rich and the poor is exponentially growing. So not only do we have all these political signs, but we've got these economic signs, you know, where the world economies are on the brink, many of them.
Yes.
We've got all this natural disasters, and we've got climate change. And by the way, 2023 was the hottest year on record.
Wow.
And so that's what we were told. Here we go. This was, I think I shared this last week. Yes. So it was the first time on record that the global temperatures came close to the 1.5 degree limit that they've set above industrial levels, right? Industrial age levels. They're saying 1.5 degrees above that on average is the tipping point. And they're saying this year, it'll be hotter than last year. So this year, 2024, we're going to set another record. And it says here in this ABC News website, this was from the 9th of December, average global temperature in November was 1.62 degrees above pre-industrial levels, bringing average for the year to 1.6 degrees.
It's getting worse.
1.6 above. It's getting worse. And so we will see how this all plays into Bible prophecy. But I do want to get back to the Elon Musk and this gulf between the rich and the super poor, which is just stupendous. I want to get back to that because there's a scripture in connection with that.
Yes.
And the signs of the times, which we're going to get to in just a moment. But before that, this was an interesting article here that I came across. And the headline was, this from Study Finds, the headline was, mysterious heat waves are popping up worldwide without explanation. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So you've got these heat waves that are coming up at different times, and they are coming at times that are very, very much unexpected. And they're referring them to as these mysterious heat waves. So I won't go into all the details, but this is just telling us that things are beginning to escalate in all different departments. Okay, there's this convergence.
Yes, absolutely. Now, a question to you, Pastor. How do we answer the question of, does this help the argument for climate change?
Look, does this help the argument for climate change? Obviously, there are those that are on the climate change train.
Yes.
And they use these headlines to their advantage to push for this, this green economy.
Yep.
But the Bible tells us that, yes, humans are instrumental in destroying, the planet.
Yes.
We are. The Bible talks about, Revelation 11, God says, that he will destroy those who destroy the earth. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's in Revelation 11. We know that clearly. But at the same time, we know from the book of Job that Satan has power to cause death and destruction.
And natural disasters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And where we will see where all that is leading to. In fact, look, you've brought it up now. So maybe I should just tap into some of these words, which are really, really pertinent. So this is from the book, The Great Controversy.
Yes.
It's chapter 36, and it's entitled The Impending Conflict. So we talked about The Great Controversy, and I'd love for every single person to have this book. It's a wonderful book. And this is what the author, Ellen White, writes. This is what she writes. She writes, so this is in connection to the final conflict. Okay, she says, Satan works through the elements to garner his harvest of unprepared souls. He has studied the secrets of the laboratories of nature, and he uses all his power to control elements as far as God allows. So this tells us something, Smithy.
Wow.
This tells us that I don't understand it, but apparently Satan has laboratories, And in those laboratories, he manipulates, or he's able to manipulate the weather, and he's able to manipulate other aspects that we refer to as natural disasters. Let me keep reading. Mm-hmm. And she speaks here, then she goes on. When he was suffered to afflict Job, this is Satan, how quickly flocks and herds, servants, houses, children were swept away, one trouble succeeding another as in a moment. And you can read about that in Job chapter 1.
That's right.
Where he brings a windstorm, like a hurricane or a tornado, probably more like a tornado. Mm-hmm.
Hail was one of them.
No, the tail wasn't one of them. The fire coming down from heaven was another one. And so, you know, Satan has this power. She goes on. She goes, it is God that shields his creatures and hedges them in from the power of the destroyer.
Whoa.
But it says, but the Christian world have shown contempt for the law of Jehovah, and the Lord will do just what he has declared that he would do. He will withdraw his blessings from the earth to remove and remove his protecting care from those who are rebelling against his law and teaching and forcing others to do the same. She's speaking of that end time final worship conflict. Mm-hmm. She goes on and she says, while appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he, that is Satan, will bring disease and disaster. Are we seeing disease and disaster?
Everywhere.
Increasing. Absolutely. Then she goes on. Until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. That's pretty scary. Mm-hmm. She says, even now, so she's writing in her day when she was writing this, you know, more than 100 years ago, even now he is at work in accidents and calamities by sea and by land in great conflagrations. That word conflagrations there is fires.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Wildfires.
Wildfires.
Do we have wildfires?
Even in Australia, it's renowned for them.
And in the US, especially there in California.
Well, California. Oh,
huge wildfires. Unprecedented wildfires that they refer to. Then she goes on, in fierce tornadoes and terrific hailstorms, in tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes.
Wow.
Did we just have an earthquake?
You couldn't make this stuff up.
In every place and in 1,000 forms, Satan is exercising his power. And she goes on. So, does Satan have the power? Yes.
It's clear.
It's absolutely crystal clear. It's clear. She's quoting scripture.
Yes.
Because he has the power as God allows. And so, as these labor pains intensify, we know that there's going to be more and more of this happening.
So, grand question, Danny. Did she write this last week?
No, she didn't. She wrote this more than a century ago.
Oh, my.
And the book, The Great Controversy, that was given to her in a vision by God. It was a 2-hour vision at a funeral. It took place at a funeral service in the year 1858.
No way.
That's over 150 years ago.
Somebody take my money, but I don't have any to give.
So there you go. So that's the book, The Great Controversy. And so all these things are taking place right now as we speak, Smithy. Now, I didn't give the code word to the book, but we'll do that in the next section because I'm just here, there, and everywhere. But I want to go to the book of James.
Yes.
Let's go to the book of James, and we're going to get back to Elon Musk, all right? And not just so much Elon Musk, but this gulf between the rich and the poor. So go to James
1,
chapter 5. Now we're going to go to James.
Oh, is it that chapter Merchant's 5?
Verse? Yes, that's it. James chapter 5. And I want you to read from verse 1 all the way through to verse 6, and then we're going to read a little more. But firstly, James chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. So, folk, listen to these words in the context of the end time and this gulf.
Gladly.
And it between says, the rich and the poor. Far away.
Far away. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days.
In what days?
The last
days. The last days. Okay, let's keep going. Let's find out how they heaped up treasure. And you tell me if this is not happening before our very eyes. Verse 4. Folk, listen into verse 4.
I'm excited, Danny.
All right.
Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath.
Okay, so let's just pause there for a moment. How did they become wealthy, super wealthy, billionaire wealthy? How did they become millionaires and multimillionaires and billionaires? By doing what?
Defrauding and thievery.
Defrauding and thievery of who?
Of the laborers.
And are the laborers the rich and the, in this passage, or are they the poor?
The poor class?
And the working class. The poor class. Guess who pays the taxes today?
It's the middle class and the working class.
The middle class and the lower class. They're the ones that pay the taxes.
Yes.
Okay, the rich pay the taxes, but they're like paying 2, 3, 4%.
And I believe one of the goals is to get rid of the middle class.
Exactly. So there's a lot there. So this is telling us that there's this inequality. You've got people working for $1 to $2 to $3 to $4 to $5 a day, slaving away in sweatshops, whilst those that are profiting from their slave labor are earning millions and multi-billions.
Wow.
This has never been the case before, Smithy, unlike today. We've never, ever had this unlike today. Keep reading. Verse 5.
Okay, let's give a quick example. You're saying from sweatshops. So say a shoe is made there for less than $5. Mm-hmm. They're selling it at like $200.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay, it says here in verse 5 and 6, you have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you.
That's happening right now as we speak. Yeah. All that. Keep reading, verse 7.
Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain.
Then it finishes off with verse 8.
You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand.
There you go. This is telling us this is happening just before Jesus returns. And so we are there, folk. We are there. We are there. Jesus is coming soon. In the meantime, listen to Anna Weatherup, Softly and Tenderly. We need this song right now, and then we're going to continue this journey.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the bottles, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus, he's pleading, pleading for you and for me. Should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, ye who are weary. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling all sinners, come home, come home, come home, come.
That was Anna Weatherup, Softly and Tenderly. Just such a beautiful song, beautiful melody, just on the guitar. Just hope you really enjoyed it. That was a beautiful song, beautiful song. Well, folks, it's come time for our giveaway. I shared I'll do that in the last segment, and I got carried away, as I often do. Got sidetracked by my mate Smithy. I'm gonna blame you, Smithy. You're here, so I'm gonna blame you.
Since I'm only here for once, until next time, next year, it's fine.
You probably won't come back. No, it's good to have Smithy on board. And so here is our giveaway, this book, Stories of Faith. So we've got seven of these, so be ready for the code word. So the code word, Smithy, why don't you share the code word with our audience?
It is, friends, L-U-T-24-FAITH. I'll say it again properly. L-U-24-FAITH.
F-A-I-T-H. So L-U-24-FAITH. Text that word to 04-888-17624. That's 04-888-17624. And that book will be heading in your direction. So only seven books. And you want to get these stories of faith. 55 powerful testimonies of men and women on the door encountering divine moments. And, yeah. Rochelle, you'd have quite a few, wouldn't you, of your own?
Yeah, it's definitely like you feel like you're on the front lines when you're knocking on the doors, and God is always with you, and it is an amazing experience. It has major challenges, but it's definitely very rewarding.
Praise the Lord. Praise. Well, what we're going to do, Rochelle, not right now, but in the next segment, I'm going to invite you to share one of those stories with
all
our
right.
listeners.
I'll think hard.
So you've got time to think. So right. In our next segment, we're going to have Rochelle share one of those stories, one of those powerful stories. Now we've got some folk that are sharing their thoughts and their comments. What's come through?
Yeah. So we're trying to get Danny on the technical side in the studio, but in the meantime,
I'm not sure if that'll happen before the second coming.
He actually did really amazing. I heard you did good when you had to run the show
last week. Unbelievable. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. It must have been.
You've got more talents than you've
had. Who would have thought? No one believes in me, neither do I, but it happened.
You actually did it. All right.
So by evolution, it happened by chance. Anyway.
So we have our friend David who's been writing into us, and he was saying g'day to all of us, but he also was saying
g'day,
that
Dave.
Himself and his wife Tina have their 39th anniversary on the 4th of January.
Well, hey. I'll be. Look at that.
And he was checking, he was saying, so did you say it was your 30th anniversary?
30th, yeah, the big 3-0.
Big 3-0. And then we also had Andrina who said that it looked like there was another earthquake, 6.1 in Vanuatu, breaking news.
Well, that would be a huge aftershock.
That's 6.1.
6.1, that's more like an earthquake, a separate earthquake. So, yeah, folk, we need to keep them in prayer. And the folk there, they'd be already traumatised, let alone, I mean, these aftershocks, they just re-traumatised.
Oh, I got a dad kind of response. It sounds like Rocky times.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, any other comments come through?
No. So right into us, everyone.
Okay. 04-888-17624. So Smithy, to get back to what we were speaking of here in James chapter 5, it very, very clearly, describes the times that you are living in, because this is the last days and we have this gulf between the rich and the poor, and the rich becoming super rich on the back of the super poor.
They're almost like mosquitoes. They're just sucking out the financial lifeblood out of every individual that is underneath them.
Absolutely.
I guess there's heaps of poor people compared to rich people.
Yeah, there is. There is. So, I mean, you know, when you come across statistics like, you know, 1% or 10%, I'm not sure whether it's 1% or 10%. I think it might be 1% of the world's population owns as much as the bottom 50%.
The bottom 50%.
And there's 8 billion people on the planet, so that'd be like 4 billion people own as much as 80 million people. That would be 1% of 8 billion.
Do you remember a time, Pastor, that they would say about America, it was the land of the American dream?
Mm.
So basically they're saying this is the place you go to get established. But Absolutely. It sounds like, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not about making sure everyone is well off. You can only have a distinction between two parties.
Mm.
Those are up here, you like to control those who are down there. Mm. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that's what's happening. Look, I don't have an issue with people who are wealthy. In fact, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with being rich. We've got many examples in scripture of individuals being wealthy. We've got Abraham.
Yeah.
The Bible refers to him as a friend of God. He was wealthy. He was very, very wealthy.
Yes.
We've got Job. You know, we talked about Job earlier. He was very, very wealthy. But these individuals, they cared about the poor.
Yes.
They cared about the poor and they sought to, you know, share their wealth. So there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but there's something wrong if your wealth is at the expense of somebody else's poverty. Wow. So whereby, you know, someone's getting paid $5 to make something and you're profiting $95.
Yes.
Out of that $100, you're getting $95 for really almost doing nothing, and they're getting $5 for doing all the hard work.
So when you say doing it at their expense, you mean you're making yourself getting more happier or more better off while others are getting worse?
Probably to put it more accurately, they're not being paid a fair wage.
Ah, yeah.
They're not being paid a fair wage. I mean, you know, if you go to Big W or wherever to buy clothes, or you go to Kmart or wherever people buy clothes, mm-hmm. Guess where the majority of our clothes come from? Do they come from Australia? They're made in Australia. Do you see on the label made in Australia?
It says made in China or Taiwan.
Made in China or Taiwan.
Yes.
Or somewhere else. They're,
India.
You know, India. Yeah, whatever. So the wages are a lot lower there. Living standards are obviously a lot lower. But the problem is it's getting more and more. I've been to the third world.
Yes.
You know, I've been to Africa 7 times. I've been to the South Pacific a number of times. And people over there work really hard for minimal wages, enough to barely survive. You know, a lot of them don't even have enough money to put their kids through school. I've been to Africa where, you know, the government in some of those countries where I've been, they pay for the education of the child through primary school.
Yes.
But then in high school, you have to foot the bill.
Oh, wow.
So it's not like in Australia where it's free education. All yes. the way through to tertiary level, I mean, you've got a hex debt, but still, you can still study. The government will, you know, they will, I guess, give you the money, borrow you the money. You've got to pay that back
yes.
as a hex debt. However, you have an opportunity to get your education, whereas in a lot of these countries, you certainly forget about university being free. Forget about that being free in the third world. You know, that's a joke.
Yes.
So a lot of people just don't have an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because they just don't have those privileges that we do here in Australia.
Wow. So we're so fortunate.
We are so blessed.
Now, Pastor, you mentioned earlier, just so I don't take off your chain of thought, you're talking about the climate change condition, or is it Trump yes. again?
Yeah, we talked about the climate change and how, you know, the enemy can work and will work
yeah.
and has been working and is working as we speak to manipulate, not only the weather, but is able to manipulate, you know, these disasters that are coming yes. through. He's able to mess, you know, to use the language of Ellen White, she says, you know, he's got these laboratories.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I don't understand how all that works, but he's got incredible power, as God allows, praise God, yes. you know, as God allows. So let's just take a look at some other things. So anyway, in the meantime, whilst all this turmoil is taking place, we've got Donald Trump, okay, who is rising to power more and more.
Wow. Okay?
He hasn't been inaugurated yet. That's still in a month's time, but world leaders are rocking up, talking to him on the phone, visiting him. I'm not sure. No, they're not really visiting him in person, but he has met with a couple of them while he was in Paris, and he was invited to the Notre Dame
yes,
to the opening. And that is like, you know, one of the key churches in the Catholic Church. I mean, that was dedicated to the Virgin Mary.
Yes.
And he's a big fan of the Virgin Mary. You know, he loved to play her Ave Maria.
Yes.
At his rallies. And so, you know, it appears like Donald Trump is filling this void.
Yes.
There's this, and he is being seen as a potential savior or a disruptor, depending on what side of the fence you happen to be on.
But he's definitely taking the position of someone that's divinely favored.
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. so those that wanted him to be elected are seeing him as a messiah, mm-hmm. not only to save America, but potentially to save the world.
Wow.
He is seen, yes, he is being increasingly seen by many out there that he is the savior. In fact, big tech. You remember he was cancelled off Facebook?
Yes.
After the January 6th riots? You remember that?
I do.
You know, Zuckerberg, you know.
Wrote him off.
That was it. You know, cancelled him. You got cancelled off Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it was Facebook. I know it was Twitter. It was definitely Twitter. He got cancelled off Twitter. Guess what? They're all lining up now. You know, I've read a few headlines. Kiss the ring. That's in connection with the Pope, but now it's in connection with Donald Trump.
Wow.
These big tech tycoons. Okay. The first one to put his hat in the ring was Elon Musk, of course.
Yes.
He was anti-Trump. Did you know that?
In the beginning.
In the beginning, he was anti-Trump. Yeah. They all were.
Yes.
You know, and now they're all lining up and saying, yes, sir. You know, we want to work with you. Obviously vested interest and so forth, and they could be a little bit concerned about what he could potentially do to them.
Yes.
Now that he's president,
yes.
He might cancel them, and they're not quite sure what that's going to look like. But it just shows how the pendulum is swinging.
Yes.
So, yep, what are we going to say? We're going to go to Revelation.
I was going to say it's almost scripted. Like, it's, the conditions had to be made really, really bad for, like, Elon to go, I'm moving out of California and my business, taking it with me. Establishing myself down, I believe, in Texas land, where he realizes, wow, it was really harsh conditions underneath the government of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I really favor what Trump is into now.
So the tide has turned. Let's have a look at what Revelation 13, 12, 11, 12, because we're now heading into America. Okay. So this all lines up with what's happening. Now, we're not making any predictions what's going to happen under Donald Trump. Only God knows.
Yeah.
But we can certainly see, the writing on the wall. We can certainly see those labor pains intensifying. So Revelation 13, 11 speaks of the United States of America. Okay. Do you want to read Revelation 13, 11?
Gladly. And it says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon.
Okay, so this is the United States of America, mm-hmm. right? It has these two horns like a lamb. These two horns represent the two foundations of the United States of America, in case people are just tuning in for the first time and they haven't heard all our previous studies and scriptures and connecting points with this. Those two horns represent civil and religious liberty.
Yes.
Republicanism, which is civil liberty. So not the party. We're not talking about the Republican, but the principle of republicanism, which is civil liberty.
Civil liberty, freedom.
And Protestantism, which is religious liberty. These are the two foundational pillars of the United States of America, and that's why it is lamb-like. But it speaks like what?
Like a dragon.
Okay, who's the dragon in Bible prophecy?
The devil.
The devil and Satan. Revelation 12 tells us that. Yes. The devil and Satan. And so how does a nation speak? Through its laws and its legislative body. Isn't that right?
It is.
Absolutely. So this nation will go from being Christ-like.
In the beginning.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
To ultimately being Satan-like.
Wow.
Okay. So let's find out. So if this nation is to force the whole world, the Bible will need to tell us that it will have incredible power above and beyond the power that it has right now.
Wow.
So read verse 12 for me, please.
It says, and he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed.
Okay. So the United States of America will cause the whole world to worship according to the dictates of this first beast, which is speaking of the Roman papacy. Mm-hmm. Fulfill the objectives and the aims of the Roman Pope. Does the United States have to be super powerful to cause the whole world?
No, not super powerful. But it helps to be super powerful.
Absolutely super powerful. I'm thinking, what's Smithy doing here? I'm going to send him back to Footscray.
So it does have to be.
So this is speaking. Okay, we know the United States is the lone world superpower.
Yes.
But I believe the United States has to grow in even more power. And guess what? Right now.
It has the largest military expenditure.
Absolutely. Right now, all the nations are trembling in their boots, wondering what kind of tariffs is Donald Trump going to impose on
sanctions.
Them.
Sanctions.
From Canada to Mexico and everywhere in between, they are all asking a question, what's this going to look like? Are they going to be bowing the knee to the United States of America if Donald Trump plays hardball?
Absolutely.
Will they be willing to comply?
Happily to, too.
Absolutely. So we are seeing something unprecedented. Like, this is like a Wild West movie.
Yes.
But it's not a movie. It's real life. And it's showing us that Revelation 13 is coming into focus. And there's a whole heap more because we're going to get to verse 13 and we're going to get to those drones that have been happening in the United States. But in the meantime, Simon Goralisky, Amazing Grace. Oh, what a song.
Amazing Grace, how sweet. Saved a wretch.
everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then. Wow, what a song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That's from John Newton, the former slave trader turned preacher of the gospel.
It's an amazing story. There's a movie called Amazing Grace.
There is, yes.
About the liberation.
Oh, you want to get, yeah, I'm not sure if that's free online somewhere. I'm sure you may be able to Google it and you may be able to watch it for free.
William Wilberforce.
Oh, yeah. Powerful movie. Yeah, Amazing Grace over the holiday period. That is worth sitting down, watching and being inspired. What a testimony.
Great, great
testimony. What a powerful testimony. Well, folks, talking about testimonies and what happens in lives that are changed, our friend Rochelle, tell us, what is it like on the doors when you encounter people? Just tell us just some of the things that you've encountered.
Yeah. So for me, like, I don't know if I've got as amazing stories as in the books. Like, they're pretty like specific. And what I love about the stories in the book is that you can really see God's hand. So for me, how I see God's hand when I'm on the door is it's just about the timing. A lot of time where, you know, that person is home right at that time. They may have just quickly, one time they had just quickly ducked back to grab something and they wouldn't have been there had they not had to duck back. Another time, there's always usually like one person that I feel like God has sent me for, like at least one on the door who will buy, often the great controversy is actually what I sell on the doors. Since COVID, a lot of people are asking questions about what's happening in the world. And so sometimes people who are Catholics, which I love when they want the great controversy, because I think it really opens up a lot of understanding there. One time with church, I loved, we went out door knocking and it was a rainy day. And I just, no matter how much I felt like counseling because of the rain, because I'm like, who is going to come in the rain? I just felt like I was supposed to go in faith. And you know, from the moment we stepped out of that car to literally the moment I was walking back to the car, God held the rein, and we had at least two contacts on that trip.
Praise
so they're the type of moments that I have out on the door where you just, you can see God with you.
And sometimes those stories end up in books and we're aware of them. Sometimes we're not aware of those seeds that have been sown by you and many others through their books and through prayers and through words of encouragement until we get to the kingdom, Rochelle.
Yeah, so I try to do a lot of prayers with people on the door. That's something I feel comfortable with. And, yeah, my hope is for those seeds. I often find it challenging because I don't always see the fruition of my labors, and that can be hard. But God usually gives me that, just that little moment where I think, I know you've been with me today, and that person, I think, really needed that book. One time, I'm sort of forcing myself out. It can be a bit hard sometimes to get yourself out when you've got your own, you know, children and busyness. And the very first house I door knocked, he goes, yeah, I really need to buy that book. My friend's going through a really hard time and I'm about to go see him and I want to take that book to him.
Wow.
So yeah, those little moments are really special.
Absolutely. And yeah, we don't know the seeds, where they will germinate and the harvest that will come forth. We don't know that until we enter the New Jerusalem, until we go through those pearly gates into that golden city. So we just need to continue to keep sharing, continue to see, keep sowing that seed, and it's just awesome. Do you have any stories in connection with, sharing literature with individuals and, you know, you've seen God's hand at it, Matthew?
So we did AYC 2008, and we went door-to-door as – that's one of the days.
AYC is the Adventist Youth Conference. That's like a bunch of young people and not so young people getting together. That was in Sydney. I remember. I think I went to that one in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And on a Saturday afternoon, we went out and door to door, gave people literature and did some surveys.
We did. And there was this one door we went to where, we'd pray before we get to each door. And basically, when we got there, the lady opened the door. She said that, you're not Christian men, are you? We said, we are. And you won't believe it. They go, what is it? And he goes, well, I was asking the Lord just now because she was going to commit suicide.
Wow.
Yeah. And she said, if anyone opens, knocks on my door at this time, I will know that you're reaching out to me to tell me that you love me and you care for me and there's a future for me. So we were there to give books, but then we just realized, no, actually to do more than that. We offered a prayer for her to know that Jesus loves her, and also a Bible worker would follow her up.
Wow.
So that's one of quite a few other stories.
So she got to the end of the road.
Yeah.
She didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and she was ready to pack it in, to give up on life, and prayed that prayer.
Yes.
And you and your fellow friend knocked on her door at that very moment.
Absolutely possible.
And, wow, that's powerful.
Yeah, and she was in a young lady. I think she was in her 50s or so. Mm. And she just felt that all her life was not worth it.
Mm.
She went for a lot of loss, pain, which is understandable. But I think it was you that said, Pastor Danny, that there are those who feel that there is a hopeless end, but God gives an endless hope.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Well said, well said. And that book, folk, is Stories of Faith that we're giving away, and it's 55 testimonies of literature evangelists that have encountered people on the doors and how their lives have been transformed. You know, how God is changing lives, hearts, and minds, you know, right across our South Pacific division. So these are stories not just from Australia, but New Zealand and elsewhere in the South Pacific, 55 different stories. In fact, one of the stories is in connection with a literature evangelist who sold a book or books that has made an impact on four generations.
Wow.
And counting. So four generations have been blessed and influenced by the work of this literature evangelist.
How long is a generation, Danny? About 40?
About 20 to 40 years. 20 to 40 years, yeah. So this is 80 to 100 or more years that impact.
Wow.
And has been made and growing. So if people would like to potentially, you know, find out about how they can be part of the literature evangelist team, what can they do, Rochelle? Where would they go? If someone's thinking about, you know, should I, or can you do this work part-time? Is it only full-time? How does it work? Can people find out?
Yeah.
Of being involved any which way?
So I'm just trying to find the website for you. So you can definitely, there's different options now, which is quite amazing too. When I first started, the old way was always, you know, you tried to greet them at the door and go in and you do a big showcase of the books and get to know them. And that's a great way to do it. That's still there. That's regular. But as Matthew was saying, I think, which one did you do, Matthew? Was it Jumpstart?
Yeah, I did a Jumpstart program.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways you can do pop-up stores now. So there's quite a few different ways, and it's definitely something that you can just supplement and do it in a little bit of time, or you can do it full-time if you'd like to. It really depends on what you have to give. And, yeah, so let me just see. Just keep chatting for a minute,
we'll
I'll
keep
find
chatting
the website.
And maybe we'll come back to you there in the next section. But, yeah, folk, if you're interested, certainly we'll give you those details and how you can find that out. Well, let's continue our journey here. So that book, Stories of Faith, the code word is LU2 for faith, and text that word to 0488817624.
You know, Pastor Danny, I think I know the reason why the code was put like that, to help folk, if it helps.
Oh.
LU is the acronym for looking up.
Exactly.
And the year is 2024.
You've got it.
Yeah.
You've got it. We've got a smart.
You did well, Matthew.
We've got a smart cookie. We've got a smart. I'm telling you, we don't just let anyone on the Looking Up show.
I have to tell you, when I first started sometimes on the breakfast show and then Shel was teaching me about the Looking Up show, I had to think what it meant as well.
to be honest, I was like, why is that LU24 always there?
We're doing well.
It took me a few goes. So he's got it first time.
Yeah.
So that's a sign of genius. Well, you and Donald Trump like be on the same page, because he considers himself a genius.
Yes. And divinely appointed.
A self-made genius, yes. So, so you and he could be on the same page. There you go. You could be part of his cabinet. I'm going to send him a text and say, Donald, I've got just the perfect person to be right there by your side.
That's coming with a box of great controversies.
Absolutely. For no extra charge.
On that thought, I wanted to say how one of the LEs in South Australia actually managed, and I have no idea the story how, but actually managed to get a great controversy to Martin Isles, which was a really good thing if you know who Martin Isles
is. Yeah, Australian Christian Lobby. He's no longer working for them now, but
he's with Ken Ham now, I think, with Answers in Genesis.
In the States, I think.
Let's hope and pray that he read it.
Oh, absolutely. And I believe there's going to be a great awakening as a result of that book. A lot of people have read that book and have thought, oh, this just sounds too far-fetched. But as the time nears and we see these things happening more and more, and we are seeing them happening, but it's going to escalate. It will only escalate. People will be like, well, I remember reading that. They'll go back to those books and they'll be like, wow, this is happening. They'll join the dots. They'll connect it with Scripture because that's all based on Scripture. And I believe there's going to be a massive revival and awakening to follow God in the end times. Absolutely huge.
Undeniable.
The Bible actually predicts that in Revelation 18. It says the glory of God or his character or the truth will be revealed around the world. That light will light up the entire world.
So I believe, Daddy, if you can give me some feedback on this thought, there are going to be pretty much two parties in the church where as his glory is being revealed, as prophecies are being fulfilled, there's one group that's going to be like in shock and like terrified of it, where another group's going to be so excited seeing each milestone of prophecy being fulfilled.
Absolutely.
More revelations of God's character being searched for. It gives us an excited feeling and hope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, there will be two groups. There'll be, you know, Jesus talked about it. The whole Scripture talks about it. Book of Revelation talks about it. And there's going to be those that are on the side of Christ and worship him in spirit and in truth, and sadly those that choose not to. So, but the issues will be clear. The issue, I should say, will be super clear at the end. It's going to be in connection with worship. We know that.
Because it's God on trial, is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, ultimately, you know, God's character is on trial, and God through his people is justified in the end. So it's, very, very powerful.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about what happens next here in Revelation. If you want to read for us a Revelation Chapter 13, verses 13 and 14.
Gladly.
And I'm going to tie it in with what's been happening, what's happening right now in the United States of America.
So Revelation 13.
Verse 13 and 14.
Verse 13 and 14 says this: he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived.
Okay, so this passage here tells us that the supernatural will be at play at the end of time. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Absolutely. You know, we've got this fire coming down from heaven. We've talked about this at length in the past, generally speaking, in Scripture, apart from one case. When fire comes down from heaven, it's a sign that God is giving his approval, or God is initiating this.
Yes.
This is initiated by God.
Because it's a supernatural indicator.
Exactly. It's supernatural, of course. I mean, you know, no one can bring fire down from him. No human being can do that. That's supernatural.
Yeah.
But we know from the book of Job that Satan has that power to do also when God allows.
Yes.
And so this will be seen as from God.
Yes.
As we'll discover later on, you know, this union of church and state, which is the image of the beast that will be established in the United States of America, which is what was established in the old world, you know,
image.
In Europe. Yeah, this church and state union, where the church and the state are in bed together.
That Napoleon broke apart at that time.
Well, Napoleon, he
1798?
1798, when he took the Pope prisoner.
Fribertia.
Absolutely, absolutely. So on that, we've got these mysterious drones that have been showing up, and we talked briefly about this last week, but it's continuing, and, you know, the United States government really doesn't have an answer at this stage. They're saying it's not dangerous, it's not a threat to anyone's health and safety, but we don't really know what it is, but there are thousands of sightings of these drones.
Wow.
Some of them are the size of a car, a small car. So these are not normal drones. At night, this is at night. And so this is really interesting because this is playing into potentially the supernatural. We don't know whether these are man-made or whether there's something more at play. We don't know. But what this is telling us, that people are frightened.
Yes.
People are asking the question, what is this?
Yeah.
Where is this coming from? Hollywood has set the world up with the supernatural and sci-fi movies. Okay. movies like Armageddon and others that deal with these, you know, beings from outer space that come through and invade the Earth. Mm-hmm. So we've been set up. We've already got a mindset. We've been set up for decades. And now I believe Satan can capitalize on this. So we're going to take a look more at this subject in a little bit. Because, yeah, this is happening right now, and the book, The Great Controversy, actually speaks on this point of the supernatural and how the enemy is going to use that to his advantage in order to deceive, just as Revelation 13 tells us. So we're going to continue this discussion, but in the meantime, listen to TVAC in the suite by and by.
Listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Hey, it's Lyle here. There's nothing I love more than digging deep into the Bible, and I really love helping others understand God's Word. Every Thursday at 5 p.m, I have a segment on the Afternoons with Shell show where I answer all your Bible questions. Big or small, simple or hard, it will get answered. Whether you have a question you want to send in, or you just want to learn from others, tune in at 5 p.m. Thursday and text 0488880856.
Look up.
Listening to the Looking Up show on this final show of the year. I can't believe it. I'm a bit sad.
It's going too fast, Pastor.
It has. The year's flown by. And on this last show of the year, we're just wrapping up here with a few more a few more bits and pieces in connection with Bible prophecy. Before we get to that, and one final plug for our giveaway book, a big shout out to Christina from Wagga Wagga. She's one of our regulars. A big shout out to you. And also Jan from Erina. So they've texted us in that they are listening, and great.
Can I just read out Christina's message?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
So Christina says, thank you, Looking Up. I love your show, guys. Thank you, and God bless you always. Warmest, Christina from Wagga Wagga.
Oh, look at that.
I'm a brown man blushing. I'm going red.
There you go, Christina. Thank you, Christina. If you could only see, if radio had eyes, just as well radio doesn't have eyes. Because you know what they say, you know, people like you and I, we are a really good face for radio. We have a good face for radio. People can decide what all that means. But anyway.
Will the ratings go up or down?
I'm not sure what the ratings would do. I shudder to think. The Looking Up show, number 0488 176 24. If you want to text in the code word, Smithy, which is?
It is LU24FAITH. Looking Up 24 Faith.
Fantastic. So there you go. For our book, Stories of Faith, 55 Powerful Testimonies from Literature Evangelists. And so get in. That's your last opportunity. That's it. No more giveaways for 2024.
Don't write Looking Up. I just said that was the acronym. LU is for Looking Up. But yeah, the acronym is LU24 Faith.
That's it. That's all you got to do. All right. So back to these drones.
Yes.
All right. I was listening to some stuff just yesterday and it's still ongoing. All these sightings, there are photos, there are videos online. People can go online and check it out. And so the latest Time magazine, guess what? It has Donald Trump on the cover as the person of the year.
Wow.
Donald Trump, person of the year.
Now I can see you there, Daddy, with one Time magazine that has Elon Musk.
I've got this Time magazine, December 9, and it's got Elon Musk on the front cover, and it's entitled Citizen Musk. Wow. What's next on his to-do list?
So these iconic figures are being put on Time magazine, and they're in association with each other.
Absolutely, yeah. They're best buds. Yeah. It's got here on his to-do list, he's ticked off electric vehicles, become the richest man, tick. Buy Twitter, tick, launch rocket, tick, bring rocket back, tick, implant human brain chip, tick.
Oh, tick.
Get Trump elected,
tick.
Tick. Work from Mar-a-Lago,
tick.
Tick. There's only two more that he's got here on his to-do list that haven't been ticked off.
Tell us, Puff. I'm intrigued.
Slash $2 trillion off the US expenditure budget. And fly to Mars. So we'll see what happens with that. But anyway, in that particular edition, that was December 9, the headline, well, one of the articles that caught my attention that I read, it was in connection with space, inside Capitol Hill's latest UFO hearings.
Latest.
All right. Let me read to you just a little of this. So this is before all these drones. Okay. This is all happening before these drones really came to light and hit the headlines. I'll read a little on here. On November 13, so that's this year, two subcommittees of the House Oversight Committee, so this is in Congress, right, held a joint hearing provocatively titled Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena, which is UAP. That's the new name for UFO.
Yeah.
The subtitle, Exposing the Truth. During which they heard from four witnesses making the case that American skies are indeed being plied by an un-American and quite possibly unearthly machines.
Wow.
This is what they're saying there as they're testifying before Congress. So we don't know what is going on. So let me just share with you here how this article concludes. It says, whatever the unexplained technology is, the witnesses stress, these are the witnesses that testified before Congress, before this oversight committee, this House Oversight Committee. Whatever the unexplained technology is, the witnesses stressed, it is the government's responsibility not just to figure out its origin, but also to share what it learns with the taxpaying public. The intelligence community is treating us like children, Schellenberger testified. It's time for us to know the truth about this. I think we can handle it. So, wow. Is the enemy able to get his fingers in that pie?
Anyway.
Absolutely. And he will. And he will. Let me read. Can I read to you from The Great Controversy?
Please. Can I share a quick thought while you're doing that, Pastor?
Yes, you can.
Even will set up people to be hungry for that pie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's all happening. So in that chapter, chapter 36, entitled The Impending Conflict.
Whoa.
Okay. People need to read this for themselves. They need to read this for themselves. Listen to this. This is from about page 590-591 of the book Great Controversy. The miracle working power manifested through spiritualism will exert its influence against those who choose to obey God rather than men. So this is all being set up for the final showdown. Listen to this. Communications from the spirits will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejecters of Sunday of their error. So this is the Sunday
rhetoric
movement that will be rolled out. Yeah. At the end of time. This is this final worship showdown, which has, you know, Sunday all over it. And there's just so much in connection with that. We've talked a lot about that this year. We'll talk a lot about that more next year. There are just articles popping up left, right, and center in connection with making Sunday a day for the family, a day for the environment, a day for peace and harmony and unity, and so on and so forth. It goes on. So, convincing the rejecters of Sunday of their error, affirming that the laws of the land should be obeyed as the law of God. So there's going to be communications from the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very, very, very important. So we know that this is on the horizon, and what we are seeing now is whetting people's appetite.
Yes.
That there could be something out there that is unearthly.
Well, two thoughts for you to give me feedback on, Pastor. Hasn't the Hollywood movie-making machine been instrumental in pre-indoctrinating?
Absolutely.
To even think in this sort of chain of thought that they would really love to capitalize on.
Absolutely. All right, you brought that up. I talked about this on Sabbath in a sermon. Mm. Hollywood has set us up from movies such as, well, sitcoms such as Bewitched. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Many years ago. Mm-hmm. I Dream of Jeannie.
Yes.
Okay. Star Wars.
Yes.
All right, then, you know, Harry Potter, that's pretty obvious. The Marvel movies.
Oh, that is
over rife. 30 movies. Over 30 movies, they're grossing about $1 billion each on average.
Absolutely.
That's an enormous amount of money. Avatar, Lord of the Rings, and then to top it all off, Walt Disney.
Wow.
What's Walt Disney coming up with?
A lot of sorcery.
A lot of sorcery.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse and magic.
Oh, heaps of it. Yeah. And I went and I did a bit of Googling, and I've shared this with our listeners in the past, but just a reminder, of the top 20 box office hits, movies, I should say, of all time, I've got a list here beginning with Avatar, Avengers, Avatar, The Way of Water, Titanic, Star Wars, Avengers, starting off with about $3 billion in total revenue at the box office for Avatar, all the way through to number 20, which is Star Wars, which is at $1.3 billion. Of those top 20, Smithy, 75 to 80% have got spiritualism woven all the way through the movie.
Oh, 100%. And even other additional beliefs that are anti-Bible.
Absolutely.
LGBTQ.
Not to mention that.
Violence. This goes on.
Not to mention that.
Can I give a mention to about what Richard Dawkins has done as well?
What has he done?
So he was asked, you believe, Richard, someone's asked, I'm paraphrasing the interview, they asked Richard, you strongly believe that there is no God, you're very full on about, you know, everything came into existence from this Big Bang theory. There's no other consideration you would make. Like, just say you find out that there is something else, that there was a designer. Who would you credit that to? He says, it'd be UFOs.
Wow. Yeah. Is that what he said?
He said that.
Richard Dawkins.
He goes, I would believe there's intelligent life forms out there that are UFOs.
You know, that's interesting aliens. That you share that.
The super race.
I'm going to look into that because I'm sure that'll be somewhere online to find. That's a really good point.
YouTube.
Because he is an avid, famous atheist.
Oh, yes.
Okay. I mean, he is as well known as you can get in the atheist sphere.
Yes.
And if he's saying that, yes, I don't believe in, you know, the creator God of the Bible that Christians believe in and others believe in, but I believe in a intelligent life force that could have brought about life on planet Earth. That is telling you that the atheists and everyone is set up.
Yes.
Oh, have mercy. Yeah, Lord, have mercy. I'm going to share with you one more quote here. Oh, this is powerful. Then we're going to go to Revelation 18:23, which ties all that together, Smithy.
Gotcha.
Listen to this. Back to that book, Great Controversy. It says here, listen to this. Papists who boast of miracles as a certain sign of the true church will be readily deceived by this wonder-working power. Okay, talking about this spiritualism, this power that 2 Thessalonians talks about as well, and Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. There's just so much of it. And Protestants, it goes on here in the quote, and Protestants, so papists and Protestants, having cast away the shield of truth. What's the shield of truth? The word of God.
It is.
It's the word of God. Thy word is truth. So they've cast off the word of God, will also be deluded.
Yeah.
And then it goes on and says, papists, Protestants, and worldlings, that would be the Richard Dawkins of this world,
yes,
will alike accept the form of godliness without the power. And they will see in this union, okay, this union brought about by spiritualism, signs, miracles, and wonders, they will see in this union a grand movement for the conversion of the world and the ushering in of the long-expected millennium. When they cry peace and safety, then it's all over. It's all, it's there.
It's curtains.
It's curtains. Yeah. We are there. Done deal. Game over. Game over. Powerful. Let me read it just a little bit more that I missed out. It says here, church members love what the world loves and are ready to join with them. And Satan determines to unite them in one body and thus strengthen his cause by sweeping all, how many?
All.
All into the ranks of spiritualism.
Oh, wow.
Done deal. And guess what? Every single world religion believes in life after death.
I do.
Isn't that right?
It is.
Every single world religion believes in life after death. That is spiritualism. So in case our folk are wondering, what is spiritualism? Let me give you the two key principles of spiritualism. The two pillars are that conscious life exists after death. That's the immortality of the soul. And the dead can communicate with the living.
Oh, wow. Absolutely.
And so they are sitting ducks.
Celine Dion made a song, My Heart Will Go On, like this eternal conscience.
That's the Titanic.
The Titanic.
That's the Titanic. And guess what? That is number four on the top 20 all-time box office movies.
Wow.
Number four. Yeah. In between Avatar, Star Wars, it's phenomenal. This just blew me away when I saw this. And not to mention what our children are being fed by Disney.
Absolutely.
You know, that's just have nothing to do with Disney. Absolutely. If you've got children, Disney's poison, folk. Disney is poison. Capital P, poison. Do not allow your children to view any of these poisonous cartoons that Disney is pumping out in order to deceive the whole world. And let's go to that. Revelation 18. Smithy, you got to read Revelation 18, verse 23. This just tells us that this is serious business.
So Revelation 18, 23 says, friends, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived.
How are all the nations? This is at the end of time. This is Babylon. Yep. This is Babylon, this end time system that falls apart, including the merchants are caught up. Who are the merchants? They're the business people.
Absolutely.
This is the world economies.
That are behind it all.
These are the Elon Musks and the merchants of the earth. They're deceived by sorcery. Guess what? I looked up that word sorcery.
Pharmakia.
Pharmakia, the Greek word pharmakia. And this is what it means. It means a number of things depending on the context. It means medication, okay, as we would understand it, pharmacy. But it also means magic. Sorcery, witchcraft, poisoning, which I talked about, often, and now notice, often this word is found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it.
Oh, wow.
Idolatry. Is there an image erected at the end of time that the whole world is forced to worship or else no buy, no sell, and ultimately death? Is there an image that is set up?
That's the ultimate goal.
Yes.
Yes, there is.
Is image worship idolatry?
None other than.
How will that happen? Through sorcery.
Wow.
Through spiritualism. We are there, Freddie Bear. We are there. We are there. I'm telling you, folk, all jokes aside, we are heading to the final showdown. And next year, 2025, is going to be absolutely massive. Massive.
But before 2025 comes, we need to listen to Chris Rice, Rock of Ages, and then we're going to come with some final closing thoughts for 2025.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? My tears forever flow. These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Wash me, Savior, or I die. I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold thee on thy throne. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself, let me hide myself, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself, let me hide myself, let me hide myself in thee. Let me hide myself, let me hide, let me hide myself in thee.
That was Rock of Ages by Chris Rice. And Smithy, if ever there was a time when we needed to hide ourselves in thee, as the beautiful song says, it's today, isn't it?
Today, absolutely. There's no other way. What did God say? To abide in him and for him to abide in us.
He is our Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
He is our foundation. Yeah. He is our pillar of strength. And so, folk, as we come to the end of this year, in this final show, in these final few moments that we have together, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for being with us on this journey of discovery into God's Word, discovering the wonderful hope that we have. And we're going to finish off with just a couple of final thoughts that I hope and pray will be really encouraging to you from the book of Daniel. But before we do that, Rochelle has found this website that if you're interested in literature evangelism work, being out there on the front lines, knocking on doors, sharing the good news of the gospel, either full-time or part-time, you can go to literatureministry.info. Literatureministry.info. That's the website. And you will find all the details there of how you can get in contact with someone that will be able to assist you so that you can be out there on the front lines sharing literature to help people make a decision for eternity. And there's nothing more important than that, Smithy.
Absolutely. I mean, you're giving the gospel, which the world is hungering for. They're looking for a hope that not just endures for the day, but endures forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's literatureministry.info. So
There you go, folk. And so, yeah, we want to finish off. We want to finish off by going to a couple of stories. So in Daniel 3 and Daniel 6, I was thinking about this the other day. In fact, not the other day. Well, it might have been just yesterday or this morning as I was thinking about these two stories. And in Daniel 3, we've got an image that is established, as you know. Mm-hmm. And everyone is commanded to bow down to the image that King Nebuchadnezzar has established, or else they'll be thrown in the fiery furnace.
Yes.
So that is doing what God said we ought not to do, and that is erecting false worship, mm-hmm. okay, which goes against the United States Constitution, well and truly. But what you have is the opposite in that story. You have the king then making a decree, forcing true worship,
yep.
which that's never God's plan to do. If you want to read for me verse 29 of Daniel chapter 3, verse 29, what does it say there?
It says this, friends. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this.
Now, is it true that there is no other God other than the God of heaven that can deliver? Is that true?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
True.
And is it true that there is only one God who is worthy of worship?
Only one God.
Absolutely. But can we legislate true worship?
No.
No. So can you see in this story, we have what's happening in the world right now. We have had the left legislating against faith and worship.
Oh, wow.
In the United States of America. Now we've got a new government coming in that is planning on legislating true worship. Can you see that happen in the book of Daniel?
Yes.
Chapter 3. Is that going to end well? No. In Daniel 6, we've got the same story. We've got the legislation of false worship. Okay, we've got true worship prohibited there.
Yes.
But then the king says, you will no longer be allowed to say anything against the God of heaven. Otherwise, you are cactus. So once again, we've got the pendulum swinging.
Yes.
And that's what's going to happen at the end of time.
Absolutely.
So the only way to stay true and faithful is to be like Daniel and his three friends who were faithful to God. They were willing to worship God according to the dictates of their conscience. And God only always accepts worship from the heart.
Yes.
Let's never forget that.
And it's not enforced. It Absolutely. Comes freely.
Absolutely. It's always freely. Well, folk, it's time for us to pray and time for us to ask God to bless us. So would you like to have a short prayer with us, Smithy?
Absolutely. Let's pray, friends. Dear Heavenly Father, the God of the universe, the galaxy, the stars, the planets, even this earth and your people on it, we thank you for sustaining us every day, every night. Lord, it's your Holy Spirit that keeps us. You love us so much that you say in your word in Matthew chapter 5 and one of the verses there that you reign on the just and the unjust. That's how much you love us, that you desire for everyone to have hope. Thank you for Faith FM. Thank you for giving everyone that hope and that faith. Bless everyone before Christmas time. Keep them safe. And may thoughts of you be on their minds. And help us to forgive each other as you do and to love each other and care for one another. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Smithy. Thank you, Faith, for joining us. And remember, until 2025, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. God bless and see you next year.
Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ear, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. and earth and heaven be one. I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. I will not be afraid, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. I will not be afraid, no, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. I will not be afraid, no, I will not be afraid. This is my Father's world. My Father's world.